If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Rosa Morena, onde vais Morena Rosa?
Different guys on there.
The man talking here, the voice you're hearing, is my new friend, Tom Crane, who is the author of Pat's Tavern. It is a story, it's a series of essays and poems and memories about growing up some years ago. Tom's 82, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Don't call me sir. This is ridiculous. I should call you sir. You grew up in Lawndale, and these are a series. Where? Woodlawn. Okay. Well, you don't have to whisper. You think I'm embarrassed about being wrong about something? In Woodlawn.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Rick.
Rick. Just make it Rick. Okay. Tom, what compelled you to write this book? I mean, what's the seed of this book?
The seed of the book goes way back, and it's really a bit of a story, and I think it will evolve as I talk about it.
That's what you're here for.
Yes, sir. Sorry, Rick.
Rick.
Okay. Really, what I'm talking about is inspiration from others. Mm-hmm. You might say that you have a little bit of providence stirred in there that guides you on to do this, and then the opportunity. So things don't come easy, but as we go on, I'll try to explain at least how I got into writing. You need inspiration from others.
No question.
And I had, at one time, some very inspiring people. I went to night school for 12 continuous years.
Yeah, talk about that. You went for 12 years because you were working a job, right?
Right. I was raising a family, married, and I went under the GI Bill. And so that one of my early contacts that I came across was Sheldon Patinkin.
Oh, the famous director at Second City and a giant of the Chicago theater scene. How did you find Sheldon? How did you meet Sheldon?
Well, I took one of his courses in composition, and also he assigned some various readings to us. And I really wasn't interested in writing at all, but he drew it out of you. He had a great talent for really touching people. And a number of the books that he assigned, I ordinarily wouldn't have picked up. Sound and the Fury by Faulkner.
Oh, that's a tough read.
Yeah. And then J.D. Salinger. Catcher in the Rye, Holden Caulfield. He threw in a little bit of Shakespeare. He gave us, Shakespeare. I have to say that the neighborhood that I grew up in, Woodlawn, if you want to go back to the Bowery Boys, the Denton kids, that's who we were. We didn't have the East River. We had Lake Michigan.
That's right.
So while we lived or bordered next to the University of Chicago, we were somewhat removed from that area, so we kind of, like I say, education was something that we weren't destined or, interested in going on.
You learned other lessons. I mean, here you write in one of the chapters, and some of the chapters are very, very short. You write, when I was young, the times were definitely different than what they are today. As my father's birthday or Christmas drew near, I would save my money in order to buy him a present. He always requested that I buy him cigarettes or wine. This meant that I would go to the local liquor store and tell the owner that I wanted a carton of cigarettes. He would always ask, "Is this for your father, right?" In return, I would reply, "Yes, sir." He would then put them in a bag and say that would be $2. I would then pay him and walk out of the store. Whenever I purchased a bottle of wine, I would go through the same routine. I must have been 11 at the time. Yeah, that's a different world, Tom. It's a different world. You can't even imagine. And one of your playgrounds, I mean, Oakwood Cemetery was sort of like a
It was like a country club. Yeah, it was sealed off from the neighborhood, so we used to go in there and use it as a like a country club.
Yeah.
Because they had lagoons in there and the green grass and everything. Yeah, it was just, it was pleasurable. And the Oakwood Cemetery had a lot of oak woods. The aroma of
it's beautiful oak. There. It is beautiful. They've got that great, what is it, the monument, not to the firemen, right? Oh, the Confederate graves. They've got the Confederate graves.
Right. 10,000 Confederates buried there.
But when you decided to sit down and write these stories, would it be that you would have a memory of Oakwoods, let's say, and just say, okay, I'm going to write this down?
It's kind of like, when you're tapping back into, I get a little fancy here and say your psyche,
Sure.
It's memories that are buried deep within.
No question.
And what is they come from the, you might say the depths, things that you've experienced. But if you would pardon me for a minute, please.
Let's take a break, and then you can say all you... Tom wants to thank my guest, Tom. Do you call yourself Tom, or is this Thomas J. Crane,
No. My name is Tom.
Tom Crane. He wants to thank a bunch of people who've helped him get this whole Pat's Tavern book together. We got to take a quick little break. I am here for the rest of this hour with my friend Tom Crane. I just met him tonight, but he's a charming man, and he has two lovely bodyguard chauffeurs who are also in here, drove him in from Calumet City. Tom, you want to thank people about your book, for your book, or for helping you with your book, which is called Pat's Tavern.
Yes, Rick, I wouldn't be here without him.
Okay.
But I got to dwell on yourself first, Rick.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes,
no,
I do.
No, you don't.
Listen, I have never had such an opportunity in my life.
Well, you've never written a book before, have you?
Well, I've never talked to anybody like you. But in any case, I want to say that you brought my book and myself from the shadows. And
My pleasure. My pleasure.
I'll never forget you.
Good.
But anyhow...
Who are these other people who really did something for you?
Who really did? Okay. Acknowledgements here first and foremost. Amy, if you're out there listening, I want Amy Brizzari to know... Amy, you referred me to this kind gentleman, and I know that you're a school teacher and you've written a number of books yourself. You're a freelance writer. You're also on the web. So anybody interested in reading any books about Chicago, they can look it up on the web. I'm going to spell her last name for you, and it's B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-I. So if you're interested in any of Amy books, just look on the web. And you'll see the titles.
You're a good friend, Tom. Go ahead. Who's
okay.
Next?
Now, here's my other friend. 60 years of friend.
Wow.
My wife, Madeline. She helped collate the book for me, number the pages, so she helped keep it in order, because I have a tendency to get things mixed up as I...
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe. Oh, that's nice.
60 years in January.
You've been married 60 years?
Yes, sir.
Roger Badish, the newsman, has only been married. I was very impressed earlier when he said it was his 40th wedding anniversary. Roger, here you have something to live up to now, pal. 60 years. Wow, good for you.
Thank you. Now, the next person I want to thank is Mrs. Frances Vander Root. She is the editor of the Hyde Park Historical Society newsletter. And she had printed in one of the newsletters excerpts from Pratt's Tavern.
Oh, how nice. I didn't know that. That's great.
Oh, she was great. Very good. The next I want to talk about is Our Lady of Knock Church in Calumet City, Kathy Becker. Kathy Becker, she actually posted and wrote the... advertisement that I needed a ride here.
Oh.
Yes, she
did. And you found these two nice people to do that.
Oh, they answered the call. That's Kathy. That's Kathy Becker.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to leave out Patricia Turner.
Of course not.
She's one of the secretaries in the office. When I first called, she referred me to Kathy. But the interesting thing is I grew up with her husband Jim, who has since passed away, but he was a heck of a guy. He was from Woodlawn too,
yeah,
so I knew
yeah.
Jim Turner. Uh-huh. I also have to thank the dear fathers. That is Donald Finsky and Father Patrick Lyons. They gave their approval for the ad to be posted. The nice thing about Our Lady of Knock Church is they help one another.
Obviously.
Obviously. Yes, we do. And now there comes the really, the prime mover behind it all is my grandson, Timothy William Robert. Timmy is a computer expert. He formatted the entire book into PDF format, and it's that way it got posted on the web. And then that way I had a disc that I could have copies printed off.
Sure.
And the company that did it did a very good job.
Yeah, it's a nice, it looks beautiful.
It's Misprint. If anybody wants anything done, go to Misprint in Munster, Indiana, on Calumet Avenue, right off of Ridge Road. So, and Teresa's the manager there. Thank you, Teresa.
This is like the Academy Awards. It's like you're getting an Academy Award or something. Thank
you. There you go. And then, especially, my granddaughter, Natalie Schaub.
Who did the cover.
Oh, what an artist she is. She's a natural-born artist. And, Natalie, we're looking for big things from you, because you're quite an artist.
Is that it?
No, I got one more.
I'd like to thank Steven Spielberg and who else? Who else is on that list?
Beautiful. I love it. Anyhow, Mr. Joe Kitty.
Okay. Now,
Joe Kitty is in Ireland, believe it or not. He's in Feathered Tipperary. Now, that's not part of a pillow. That's not feathers.
Right.
It's Feathered is a town. It's spelled F-E-T-H-A-R-D, Feathered Tipperary in Ireland. Joe was very nice to post both of my books, Green is the Valley, Blue are the Hills, and also Pat's Tavern on his website. So anybody that wants to read my books for free, by the way, they can just type it in their browser, Feathered, F-E-T-H-A-R-D, .com/crane. That's not with a K, it's with a C. So we'll go back over
like
this.
Bird. Like
it's
bird.
A bird. There we are.
Bird.
Yeah, I'm a big bird. So anyhow, it's Feathered, F-E-T-H-A-R-D, .com/crane.
So when did you, is that it? You got Spielberg on there, or who else is on there? Tom Hanks? Who else do you have to thank?
Yeah, I met just Hanks.
Maybe Hanks will buy the movie rights to the book.
Oh, he's.
Did you finish Pat's Tavern, and how long did it take you?
Well, I wrote that 2 years ago, and I think I started it about in January, and we were finished around June or July.
Did it come easily to you?
It came as easily to me, yes.
And you're also a poet, too. There are poems in here.
I'm glad you noticed that. But I want to do one thing so I can clarify Pat's Tavern. I've written a new introduction, unfortunately not in the book, but
you can stick that page in there.
Well, here's what Woodlawn is. Woodlawn, to me, is like an ancient civilization that for one reason or another no longer exists in its original state of being. It is like Pompeii in ancient Italy that was buried in volcanic ash, or even Atlantis that slipped beneath the sea, or the ancient Inca temples overgrown by the jungles. In either case, it meant that I had to do some exploration and excavation, even if in my own mind, to resurrect the memories of lost places and people who otherwise would have vanished without even a trace. Just like any succeeding generation, history begins in its present form, and the past easily slips away. I was determined to bring forth those from the past, if for no other reason, but to honor the memory of those who I once knew and places where I once tread. Although their footprints have long been washed away, they have left an indelible imprint in my mind. They are like a vapor that quickly takes shape as I place them in scenes that I once knew.
You know, Tom Crane, that's pretty good writing, I got to tell you. And it gets right to the point of what I think Pat's Tavern is all about. You're trying to recapture something.
Yes, sir. Rick.
And you do a great job. He had some military background. That's why we're getting this sir stuff.
Like this a party. Great.
It is like a party. Yes. Tom Crane thinks that being on the radio show is like a party. He is on the show to talk about his book, Pat's Tavern. We've been talking about his dad, who sounds like a fascinating guy. You write in here that he was, one of the chapters is titled, A Hero of Sorts. What do you mean by that?
Would you, pardon me, but what chapter are we on there? I'm trying to scratch my memory. A Hero of Sorts.
Yeah, it's my father, a hero of sorts.
Oh, okay. No,
I mean, I know you loved your dad.
Yeah. Well, many of the things that he did in life were quite heroic, and I mentioned it in there. You know, he was always for the little guy.
Yeah.
You know, the underdog. And I have stories from my mother where she witnessed them, where, and then even from himself, he would always step in if somebody was being picked on. And, and not only that, but I had some cousins on my mother's side of the family. They were kind of destitute. Growing up in the Depression, it wasn't easy. My aunt had 15 kids.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. And my grandmother was the midwife. She delivered 7 of those children at home.
Oh.
And
different time, ladies and gentlemen, a different time.
Yes. And we walked in their house one Christmas, and my father said, gee, no tree, no presents, no nothing. Where's Santa Claus? Well, these kids come running up. There ain't any, Uncle Pat. There ain't any. What did Uncle Pat do, my father?
He went out and bought presents.
He went out and bought presents in a tree. It was pandemonium when he threw them down. You know, he, like I said, he would give you the shirt off his back, but on the other side of the coin, if you crossed him, he'd be the worst enemy you ever had.
Yeah.
Yes, he was like that.
But he ran a gas station, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You worked there, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What was that like?
The work.
You waited on Sam Giancana.
Well, I didn't wait on Giancana himself. I ran on one of his lieutenants. It was Peter Tremont. Peter Tremont ran the numbers racket, otherwise known as the lottery.
The early lotto, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they turned that into the Illinois State Lottery now.
Right.
But that they took that over when they assassinated Theodore Roe. Actually, the Jones brothers started the numbers racket on the South Side, and Sam Giancana went to Terre Haute Penitentiary, and he met Jones, and he started talking too much. He says, hey, that's nickel and dime, isn't it? He said, no. So he took Theodore Roe. Theodore Roe took Sam Giancana to his house, and he said, when I went into the basement, he said, my God, there was bills stuck up to the ceiling. So in any case, they did, they kidnapped Jones, and I think he fled to the Caribbean.
Now, let me ask you, Tom Crane, you have, you're 82, you'll be 83. When's your birthday?
August 4th.
Okay. You have a remarkable memory. Does it amaze you? I can't remember a lot of things from my own childhood, and I'm still away from 82. How do you remember all this stuff? Do you know?
You know, you're the second person to say that. I was fortunate to have a reporter from the Chicago Maroon.
Yeah, I read that story. That's a nice story.
Yeah, he came out to the house, and he, too, reflected upon that. I had a friend who really, his memory of happenings within the neighborhood, they exceeded my own, and that was Tom Falvey.
Yeah.
God bless his soul. He was a great guy. But there's another instance. We did have a couple of good people come out of the neighborhood, you know.
Sure.
Bob Conrad.
Sure.
Movie star, and I talked to him on the phone. Kind of shocked him with what I knew about him. We didn't know him as Conrad. He was Connie. Came up on his bicycle looking for a ball game, And, you know, I broke my hand on my friend's head. That's Tommy Lavelle. We didn't have, you know, shoot him up or anything like that.
Right.
We had a lot of street fights.
Yeah, but you were relatively, you know, you didn't have guns.
Oh, no, yeah. No guns. But we used to have some street meetups. But the funny part is I broke my hand on Tommy's head, Tom Falvey. But, you know, his brother was Mike Lavelle. And Mike Lavelle was Harold Washington's nemesis.
Yeah, well, sure.
Mike Lavelle went on to become the head of the Cook County Board of Election Commissioners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I remember that.
Yeah,
Tom, hold on. We got to take a little break, and then I want to talk to you after these commercials. I have to talk to you about Rusty, okay?
Rusty, I loved.
I know. I want you to tell the listeners about Rusty. We'll be right back.
You're something else.
This is Tom Crane complimenting me on the radio. He is the author of Pat's Tavern, a gathering of stories that are indeed memories of growing up in Woodlawn in the 30s, 40s, 50s, not so much the 60s and 70s. It's called Pat's Tavern, and it will soon, I'm going to try to find a publisher for this thing, and because I want people to read about Rusty. You got about 5 minutes left, Tom. Tell me about Rusty.
Well, Rusty was an Irish Water Spaniel, and my father had a roofing guy that he roofed with out in Cedar Lake, and he says, "Hey, I got a pup for you, Tom. So you take a ride out. We'll give you Rusty." Rusty was one of a kind. My father said that dog led 10 lives. He was not only urbanized, but also he was adapted to the country too. But the amazing thing about Rusty was no dog walking the streets today in Chicago is safe. But I used to let Rusty out in the morning, and he'd travel clear down to my father's filling station from 66 and Ingleside across Marquette Road down Drexel Avenue, 63rd Street, up to 61st Street, and show up in my father's filling station for lunch. He'd sit up on a bottom counter there. My dad would feed him. He'd get off of there and make the trek all the way back to my home and scratch on the back door. At the same time, he was quite a swimmer. We used to take him down the Kankakee River, and one time he did almost drown. He went out there and he started going down the, like I say, my father was a hero. He started floating down the river, and all of a sudden he said, "Oh, my dad stripped his shoes off, his pants, dove into the river, and got a hold of Rusty and headed him towards shore." And it was a lesson in life. The dog got up on the shore, shook himself off, and my dad said to me, "You see, Tom," he says, "he was swimming with the current. I had to get him headed towards the shore." And I finally figured out my dad gave me a little lesson in life. If you always swim with the current, you'll never make it. But my father's story was Rusty learned to swim to the shore. And from then after, you couldn't keep him out of the water. That dog would love to swim.
What a great story. Tom Crane, you are filled with wonderful stories. And this book, Pat's Tavern, is filled with wonderful stories that are based on your really, really sharp memory of growing up and coming of age in Woodlawn, which is one of I'm sure there are people out there who share some of these very experiences of growing up in Woodlawn or Englewood, which is nearby. You are my new good friend, and I can't tell you how much it was fun to have you on the radio.